Please turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. As we today do our last sermon on John, it's been a long, it's been a long year and 5 months. That's how much time we have spent in the Gospel of John. And I have enjoyed it very much, so much so that I am sad that we are finished with the Gospel of John. I almost want to start next week, John 1:1. But we have gone over this text of Scripture verse by verse, and we will do that again today, but today will be the last day of us going through the Gospel of John, and we're finishing in chapter 21. We're going to finish chapter 21 today, Lord willing. And to celebrate the final chapter of the Gospel of John, I'm going to do something a little bit different today, and I hope you are not too, I hope you're okay with it, okay? If not, I'm sorry. So, John chapter 21. Now we know that Jesus has already appeared to his disciples. He has given the task of Mary to let the disciples know that he has risen. We also know the story of Thomas, who militantly refused to believe that Jesus has rose again. When he finally did see Jesus, he said, "My Lord and my God," and it continued on. Now we are at a different point now because Jesus has not been with his disciples every day, and now he is going to appear to them again. There are some key moments in John chapter 21 that are imperative to our own Christian walk and how we view things. So, as we begin in 21, I'm going to break it up just a little bit into pieces, and we're going to go from there. We're going to talk about these matters. John chapter 21, verse 1 reads, "After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way." Just make sure it's clear. Manifest means to be made known. Jesus manifested himself. He made himself known again to his disciples, and this is how he did it. Verse 2, "Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus," or the twin, "and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will also come with you.' They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing." They're together, and Peter decides, "I am going fishing." Why does this matter? Some people have different opinions of it. One commentator says that the disciples must eat. So Peter went fishing, which was his old profession. He was a fisherman, so he decided to go back to fish so that they can have something to eat. I don't necessarily stand with that. I'm not going to deny that as fact, but I'm going to say even further than that. Peter is saying, let's go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back. Do you hear me? I am going back. I'm going back to my old profession, to my own craft, to my old way of life. I am going back. I am going fishing. Peter, with everything that happened, let's look at Peter, and we're going to talk about Peter a lot today, but let's look at everything that happened with Peter. Number one, Peter was somebody that talked before he should listen. He was somebody that wore his heart on his sleeve. He was a person of action first and then reaction later. He was a person that would act first and not think at times. The scriptures even go as far as to say that when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, that he said something because he had nothing to say. Then he's also the man that denied even knowing who Jesus is. So if you think about Peter, he is someone that is a broken man at this point. Why? Because he has sinned. He denied knowing Jesus 3 different times. After he talked an amazing game of, Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. I'll die with you. But yet when his feet started touching that fire a little bit, he was ready to run. So let's think about Peter's heart at this particular moment. He's a broken man. If you've sinned against someone and they forgive you, you feel bad about it, right? You feel even worse about it. How do I know that Jesus still loves me? How do I know that Jesus still cares? How do I know that I am still a part of the fold? How do I know that I personally am a part of the disciples when Jesus breathed on in 2022? Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the... How does... Peter may be wondering, am I a part of that? So because of this, I believe that Peter is concerned because he doesn't know where he stands with our Lord. Have you ever been in that situation where you don't know where you stand with God because sin is so rampant in your life? You've done enough to be disappointing. Family issues. I was hurt by my family member, or I hurt my family member. Will they even forgive me or have time for me? So as a result, Peter says, I am going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm not saying that he's denying his commission. I'm not saying that he's denying what Jesus wants him to do. But at this particular moment, as he sat and waited, he decided, I'm going fishing. I am going to go back. Other disciples decided that they were going to go with him. They go out there, they're fishing all night. They catch absolutely nothing. He failed at his profession. Even when he was trying to go and do this profession, I'm going fishing, I'm going back, he failed at it. They didn't catch anything. Peter is unsure of himself. You can even go as far as to say that maybe Peter has a hint of depression. Verse 4. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. We see a miracle take place right here. You cast nets when you're going fishing. I know we're normally used to the line, and you know they're casting nets. They're trying to get bulk. I would like to think that all night fishing, they would have done both sides, the right and the left side. The back too. Have you caught anything? No, we ain't catch nothing. Put your nets on the right hand side. Probably the disciples are thinking, this is crazy. We just did it. 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, nothing. All of a sudden, they pull on the right side. Now they got so many fish, they're having a hard time pulling up the nets. Verse 7. You see, we'll see in verse 6 that they had a great number of fish. They couldn't even pull up their nets. So in verse 7 it says, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who's the disciple whom Jesus loved? Are we sure? Okay, I just want to make sure. So the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped from work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. If you guys don't mind, is it okay if I give you y'all a photograph from the photo library of Luan? Are y'all okay with that? I just want to make sure, okay? I want to show y'all something that I found was really cool. I don't know why I took a picture of it when I did, but I did, and I'm happy that I did because it applies to today. Do y'all see? Oh boy, that's really, let's see. Let me see if I can zoom it in there. There we go. Oh, that's awesome. Y'all see that? What does that look like? It's a fisherman boat in Israel, found, I believe it was found in the Sea of Galilee, dated back to the first century, dated back to the time of our Lord. So if you look at it, let me see, got my little pointer. This is the boat, very small, right? Probably can fit about, what, maybe 4 or 5 guys? Okay, sorry about that. Let's see, let's get another one here. Here's a side view. Side view of the boat, okay? Very, very small, but something that we can use. We can even use something like that today, okay? Thank you for the photo. That's what the boat was, okay? So we see that I wanted to emphasize on two things. I want to emphasize on of instant identification and instant action. What happens here? They're having a hard time pulling up the fish, and John realizes it's Jesus, and he says to Peter, it's the Lord. John immediately identified that it was Christ. What did Peter do? He immediately jumped into the water. What we get a chance to see here is we get a chance to see, again, Peter's heart. Will any of you deny that Peter loved Jesus? Yes or no? No? Who's going to deny that Peter loved Jesus? Does anyone feel that Peter loved Jesus? Okay. I only got one hand that whole time. Maybe I should ask a movie question. I'm getting better with the movie questions now. But what's funny is that we don't see that the scriptures doesn't say that Peter got to the land quickly before the boat did. So if you really think about it, Peter jumped into the boat and is swimming to the Lord while the guys on the boat are just rolling along like looking at Peter as they're going both to the land. Like it's like a funny view. Peter's passion for the Lord was there. But also Peter is in a state, in my opinion, of uncertainty. So the quick identification came from John, but the quick action came from Peter. Do y'all see that? And as they're dragging this net of fish along, so you got this boat going, and they're dragging these fish, and Peter is swimming, and they manage to all get to the water, to the land, at around the same time. Verse 9, so when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter, we're talking about Simon Peter again, went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Why does John decide to record this text here? Do you see something about our Lord Jesus? He is a provider. He provides. Psalms 23, next week, we got to have a refresher. He's our shepherd. He's our keeper. We're getting into next week. But he provides. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He comforted them when they were unsure of themselves. And now, these disciples who have been fishing all night, tired, worn out, hungry, they get to the land and Jesus has a breakfast prepared for them. Do you see it? Look at the love of our Lord. Then he says, bring the fish that you caught. Could prepare those too. And they're large fish. When I think large fish, I think like giant koi, maybe. Big fish. But we're seeing here in a sense of amazement. You do not see the disciples saying anything. You don't see them talking about anything or questioning anything, because we see this in the text. Verse 12. Now, remind you, these disciples abandoned Jesus. All of them did. All of them ran away when Jesus was arrested. Jesus was by himself when he was on trial. Jesus was by himself when he was flogged. Jesus was by himself when he was crucified. His disciples witnessed, but they took off, and Peter denied even knowing him. But what did Jesus do to his scattered sheep? Come and have breakfast. Look at the forgiving nature of our Lord. Verse 12, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. He did the same thing that he did when he was feeding the 5,000. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested, made known to the disciples after he raised from the dead. If you do me wrong, I was talking to someone about this the other day. If you do me wrong, can I forgive you? Yes. But not without addressing the matter. I'm sorry, I have to use you, Shira. Shira slapped me and told people I can't read good. Luan, I'm sorry that I slapped you, and I'm sorry that I told people you can't read good. That's fine, but why did you do it? Can you give me the satisfaction of understanding why? Can we address the issue? We have a Lord and Savior that didn't do that, you see. He didn't question his disciples of their loyalty. They weren't loyal. Instead, he gave them every reason to believe that they should be comforted in him, even though they do not deserve it. Do you understand that your sin, my sin, our sin is unforgivable in most situations? Do you know that God is not obligated to forgive any of us? But he will, because of his grace, because of his mercy. And instead of saying, yeah, I forgive you, but you know what? I'm going to beat you up about this. I'm going to mess you up about this. I'm going to make you feel horrible about this. No. Come on. Do you see? All right, let's look at the relationship between Jesus and the disciples before the crucifixion and now afterwards. I don't know about you all, but I don't see a difference. Do you? You see a difference, Willie. You said yes. You see a difference. So there's a difference between Jesus' relationship with his disciples before the crucifixion and afterwards. To me, I don't see there's a difference. The same communion that they're having right now, they would have had before the crucifixion. That's what I mean. Have some fish. Have some breakfast. He provides them with the fish. He provides them with the bread. We have a God who is a God of relationship. And Jesus, our Lord, he will provide. Sometimes our sin, we allow our sin, when we understand our total depravity, when we understand that we are sinners, that we are sinful, sometimes you understand we allow that to get in the way. We stand before a forgiving God that says, I forgive you, and you continue to say, yeah, but God. As we finish this chapter, Jesus once again focuses on Peter. I believe we focus on Peter in this text because we are Peter. We practice characteristics that Peter did. And if you stand out, like I said, with our Bible studies, I'm learning a whole lot of things. There's some people that are just like, no, I've never had that problem. But I will say firsthand that I have this problem. I have some Peter syndrome. I speak faster than I should listen. I'm ready to jump into the water, not realizing that it's shark infested. But they're having breakfast. Jesus is showing his love. He is showing his patience. He is showing his kindness. And he's made himself known to his disciples by providing them breakfast after a long, hard night of work. Verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." Let me stop there for a second. Back in those times when you call somebody by their name, you normally called their name and who they were the son of. It was more of an impersonal situation. Jesus is saying to Peter, now Peter, remember, let's remember Peter's mindset now. I believe Peter was broken. I believe Peter was heartbroken. I believe Peter was uncertain about himself. So he says, Jesus says to him, "Do you love me more than these?" Some people will say, well, that means that, isn't that kind of weird that he would, you know, we're all sitting together and Jesus says, "Do you love me more than these?" Meaning these other disciples. And then Peter probably looking around saying, "Yeah, Lord, I do. I love you more than these." But I don't believe that's what it is. What was Peter doing? So he was fishing. He was going back to his old way. Simon Peter, do you love me more than your old way? Do you love me more than these? Do you think that Jesus may be asking you the same question with your obsession? Wes, do you love me more than your obsession? I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know. Cheryl, do you love me more than these things that you put ahead, number one in your life? I don't know what they are. I have no clue. But let's think about our lives. Do you love me more than the pursuit of happiness, than the pursuit of riches, than the pursuit of being famous or popular? Do you love me more than materialism? That's what Jesus is asking. He's asking, do you love me? And what does Peter say? Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Let's break this down. How many of your Bibles, all of you have your Bibles open, how many of your Bibles say anything other than love in the text? Does it say love? It says love in the English translations. Is the word love? It most certainly is love. It most certainly is love. But there's a difference here. Jesus is asking Peter, do you agapo me? Do you agapo me, the greatest love? The greatest love. Do you have a great love for me over all of these things? That's what Jesus is asking. Agapo. What does Peter say? Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." Meaning, a very high like. A relationship between a friend's love. Agapo phileo. Two Greek words. Both mean love. One's intensity. One is a little bit lighter. Now, the question is, well, why would Peter answer in that way? Well, let's think about who Peter is. He's the man that denied Jesus. So he's not going to say, I agapo love you. He has failed at that, the way he sees it. Peter, do you love me? And let's break it down into an English thing. Peter, do you love me more than these things? Yes, George, you know I like you. Does that make sense? No. Who said no? No one. You said it doesn't make sense? Yes? Oh, okay. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. I phileo you. I like you. And you know that I like you. I love you like a friend. And Jesus is asking, do you love me as the greatest love? Well, what does Jesus say about that? He says what? Tend my lamb. Tend. To provide for. Tending to the needs of the lambs. So Jesus gives Peter an assignment immediately. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agapo me? Do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. Oh boy. Tend, shepherd, serve my sheep. Serve my sheep. But once again, Jesus is asking about the greatest love, and Peter can only answer in the smaller version of it. It's almost, all right, I'll give you a good little analogy, okay? How many of you guys ever heard of Dr. Pepper? Okay, Dr. Pepper is a soda. You heard of it? How many of you have ever heard of Dr. Thunder? Food for less. How many of you heard of Cheerios? How many of you have ever heard of O's? How many of you have ever heard of NyQuil? NyQuil. Listen, if everybody's hands not up on that, we got a pandemic going. People say, y'all ain't never heard of NyQuil? NyQuil, raise your hands. You've heard of NyQuil. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Nighttime? 99 Cent Store. The point that I'm trying to make with this is that we have the brand name and we have the generic. We have the power of NyQuil, but we have the, not NyQuil, but it's nighttime. A little bit less. We have the love that Jesus is talking about, and we have the love that Peter is talking about. It's not the same. Not the same level. Not the same level. We have Dr. Pepper, and we have Dr. Thunder. I promise you, if I gave you a cup of Dr. Thunder, they have other names for it too. It's not just Dr. Thunder no more. It's like all different type of Dr. something, Dr. Twist, Dr. whatever. If I gave you a glass of Dr. Thunder and Dr. Pepper, you probably wouldn't know. That's what the English translation is. When we think love, 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 not realizing that there's different loves here. So Peter once again says, yes, I warmly like you. I love you, but it's not on the same level. And Jesus gives him this assignment to serve the sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? This third time, Jesus doesn't say agapo, but he says phileo. Interesting. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you phileo me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. See, Peter was focused on the phileo love. So what Jesus does is he goes down to Peter's phileo level and gives him a, do you phileo me? So now Peter is grieved. Why? Because now the Lord is questioning even the phileo love that he has. Do you see that? Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, I'll repeat it. Who did not make sense? I want you to understand this. Jesus is using the phileo love because he is challenging Peter's phileo love now. Not that Jesus had to get down to his level, but he's even challenging the love that he used. And that's why Peter's grieved. I denied knowing you three times, and three times you've asked me, do you love me? Jesus gives him an assignment. We as Christians tend to think that there has to be some form of process to get to a certain point, or you have to get to a certain type of level to graduate to the next. Peter, if he was at a seminary, would have been denied his admission the moment he denied Jesus. Peter would have been removed from the pulpit. Peter would be kicked out of the church. Peter would have what Wes loves is church discipline. I'm not discrediting those things. What I'm saying is that what we see here is immediate forgiveness and immediate assignment giving from our Lord. He forgives, he loves, and he's going to give an assignment. I don't think Peter even had the opportunity to say, oh Lord, nah. Do you love me? Yes. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Let go of your old way of life, fishing, and I want you to tend my lambs. I want you to tend my lambs. I want you to shepherd my sheep. I want you to tend my sheep. I want you to provide and serve my sheep. That's simple. Get out of the fisher boat and come on and be fishers of men as I told you you were going to be. Do y'all see? Thank you for a few of you, including you, Sandy, but what about the rest of you? Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself. You used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. Now this, he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he has spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus just gave a prophecy about how Peter would die. Peter would continue to work, continue to make his life purpose to serve our Lord to the point of death, to the point of him being a martyr. I like to believe that when you read 1 and 2 Peter, that Peter, being a person realizing his sin, realizing the fact that I turned away from God, and I denied knowing him, it's the pressure, it's the thought of that, him never wanting to do it again, that he stayed focused, and that's why when you read in Acts, his ministry. And when he does die, God will be glorified because he's dying for what? Not for himself. He is dying for the faith, for the gospel. Peter loves Jesus. You all will say, I hope you say, I love Jesus. But there's a difference when it comes down to us loving him and us being forced to stare down the barrel of a gun and still loving him. If your life depended on it, would you make a stand for Christ? Some of you will say yes, without a shadow of a doubt. However, you have to be careful in what you say at work because you don't want to be canceled. That's not life or death. That's whether or not they like me or not. Are we willing to make a stand for Christ? How do we get to this point? I'll tell you how. We get to this point by remaining in God's word. It's nothing I'm going to tell you. It's nothing that Pastor so-and-so is going to tell you, teacher so-and-so is going to tell you, what the TV is going to tell you, what a movie is going to tell you, what a Christian song is going to tell you. It's about the word of God. You read the word of God. You read it daily. Guess what? God will begin to teach you and show you who he is so that when you make a stand for Christ, you are making a stand for Christ. And you are not ashamed of that stand. The end of verse 19, it says he had spoken these things. He said to him, to Peter, "Follow me." Then what happens in verse 20? Interesting. Peter turning around. Greek text, turning away, looking somewhere else. Okay? Let me stop for a second. Peter turning around, looking at something else. When's the last time we saw Peter notice something else and it turned out bad for him? The water. He's walking on the water coming to Jesus, and the Bible says that when he noticed and he saw the winds, Willie, I didn't know I could see. I can't see wind, can you? I mean, you can see it in cartoons. Those little swiggly. When's the last time y'all saw wind? Y'all saw stuff from the wind, debris, but y'all never saw the wind. But he says he saw the wind. He realized it. He realized the wind and the waves were coming, and he began to sink. He paid his attention somewhere else. Once again, Peter, my good friend Peter, who is all of us, okay? None of you are higher than Peter. I'm going to tell you that right now. What has happened? Jesus says, "Follow me," and Peter turns away. What does it say he does? What does it say he does? Turning away, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. And who was that? Following them. And the one who also had leaned back in his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" So, as we talked about before, and I'm going to give, for those of you that weren't here, I'm going to give you guys a description really fast. Y'all remember my Last Supper visual, right? Do y'all remember? The Last Supper visual. So that we make sure that we make sure that we understand from the LGBTQ 123 ACYC plus minus and multiplication division group that in no way, shape, or form was John of that way. When it says that he was leaning on Jesus' breast or on his bosom, it's simply because when they were having the Last Supper, they sat and they ate like this. And we were one in front, one behind. So if Willie was right here right now and he was sitting right here, if Willie just went back just a little bit, he would be in my bosom. It's not that Willie, me and Willie were spooning, but they're sitting there and they're eating, and John says to Jesus, "Who's the one that's going to betray you?" We make sure that that's clear. We are identifying who John is. John is the one who is at the bosom of Jesus asking, "Who's the one that's going to betray you?" So Peter sees John, and what does he do? He says, "Lord, what about this one?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Marietta, your relationship with the Lord is not mine. Willie, your relationship with the Lord is not mine. Wes, my relationship with the Lord is not yours. Are you saying that we can do whatever we want? I'm saying that my relationship is not yours and your relationship is not mine. Jesus is telling you, put yourself in a situation. We are so ready to be concerned about somebody else and what they're doing that we refuse to follow him. Well, what about Pastor so-and-so? They're doing this, that, and the other. Who cares? Are you following the Lord? Are you following me? Jesus says, look, if I choose to keep him alive until I come back, it's none of your business, Peter. You follow me. You see, he said it twice. He said it the first time, Peter, follow me. Peter's like, okay, Lord. But that's none of your business. You follow me. We have a God who is a relationship God. It's about relationship, not religion. Peter, for a second, was turning around, focusing on the religion. What about this person? No. We need to have intimacy one-on-one. Let me tell you something right now. You will never enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to be grandfathered in. Because my mother, my father, my cousins, my sister, because they believed in Jesus, I'm going to get in there too. Wrong. You must have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. He didn't tell Peter, y'all follow me. He said, you follow me. If I choose to keep him alive, what business is it of you? You shouldn't be worried about what John is doing. You shouldn't be. Now, granted, John was the only one that did not get martyred. But what I have for John, I have for John. What I have for Willie, I have for Willie. What I have for Julie, I have for Julie. If I'm sitting there wondering, well, Lord, I mean, Sandy, she's doing this, that, and the other. Well, what about her? It doesn't matter. We all have our own intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to have our own relationship, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying here not to, is it a rebuke? I would say so. Because even after all that's happened, Peter denying Jesus, now he's been forgiven. He's been given an assignment. The first thing Peter does, that's just who he is. Lord, what about that person? That's none of your business. You focus on what you're supposed to be doing, which is following me. Are you focused on following Christ for yourself? Are you dependent upon the church to get you there? Are you dependent upon the pastor to get you there? I hate to say this because I don't want it to sound negative. I was telling Alan before the service started, for those of you that are aware of John MacArthur, John MacArthur is in the hospital for blood clots. He started preaching his sermon on Sunday and couldn't do his second service because he was out of breath. He went to the hospital. He's been admitted. He's in there for blood clots. If you, for the life of anybody, I would say pray for him, obviously, that he will be okay and he will recover. But here's the thing. If John MacArthur dies tomorrow, what's going to happen to the exodus of the people at his church? Why? Because they weren't following Christ. They were following John MacArthur. And I hate that. I hate that thought. That when a pastor dies, the church dies. When the pastor dies, the ministry dies. It's not the person's ministry, it's Christ. If we are following Christ, it keeps going. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just want to make sure. I pray that that doesn't happen at Grace Community Church over there. I pray that if he dies today, dies tomorrow, dies next week, dies next year, that the church will still be full. But there's members of the church saying, once he goes, I'm gone. Who are you serving? Unfortunately. Verse 23, therefore, this saying went out, this saying that Jesus said to Peter, went out amongst the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that he would not die, but only if I want him to remain until I come, what is it to you? This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John is ending the book of John saying here that I am an eyewitness testimony of these things, and these things are true. Well, Luan, wait a minute. I read the Gospel of Matthew, I read the Gospel of Mark, I read the Gospel of Luke. There's stuff missing in the Gospel of John that aren't in this Gospel. Okay. It doesn't take away the validity of John's testimony. And he clears this whole thing up in the last verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written. In other words, Jesus did a whole lot of things in his earthly ministry. And if it was all written down, we would not have the books. So even if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, understand this, that Jesus did a whole lot more to where if it was written in detail, if it was written in fullness, we would not have enough books in the world to have all of the information. The Gospel of John, This book was written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we will have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world may be saved. I am so heartbroken that we're done with John. I'm being honest with you. But if you didn't take anything away from this message today, take this. Number one, we need to love our Lord. We need to love him. Understand that he is our shepherd. He provides for us. He is our protector. We need to love him. We need to search the word of God, have a relationship with him, and we must follow Christ. Here's the problem. We follow other things. You understand that we as human beings have a nature to want to worship? How many of you have ever been to How many of you have ever been to a concert before? Oh, everybody. Oh, okay. Okay. Anyone not been to a concert before? Okay. For those that didn't go to a concert, y'all been to sporting events. Yes? Okay. I was watching a concert, and people were, and the guy stood up and said, "Everybody put your hands in the air," and everybody put their hands in the air, and they're waving, they're going crazy. Worship. Is it literally worship? No. But you can see how it is. How hundreds of thousands of people can be manipulated into doing something. There's a rapper by the name of Jay-Z. He calls himself what? What do they call himself? Do any of you know? I know y'all know. Come on, just say it. Y'all don't know? Y'all don't, listen, you two right here, y'all know what Jay-Z calls himself. You just ought to look away. Huh? That's Kanye. You know what? It's a nice day outside, Ramona. You can go outside and just be nice. It's a nice sunny day. Anyway, he calls himself Jehovah. And he has people chant, "Hova, Hova, Hova," at his concerts. Stupid. And these people are singing, "Hova, Hova, Hova," while he's rapping songs saying that Jesus can't save you, that the church, that life begins when the church ends. Yes. Yes. But people love him. People absolutely love him. But if we don't know those things, there's worship going on. We want to admire people. We want to love on people. How about this? Focus on Christ. Pastor Dave would refuse to accept any type of accolades. It's about Christ. It's not about the pastor. It's not about... Now, the pastor and the Bible teacher are people that God uses, but it's about Christ. So when you follow after Christ. If you need help with Bible teachers, then get the help. If you need help with the pastor, get the help. But do not make them be who you follow. You are following Christ. Does everyone understand that? I challenge every single one of you this week, open up your Bibles and learn who Jesus is. And I'm going to ask you, how many of you have... Are y'all willing to do that? Hands? So I don't need to go back to John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." We don't have to do that all over again? Do it again. Or somebody said do it again. It's time for us to be for Christ. Follow Christ. him. Amen?